You are listening to the Pencil and Paper Podcast Network.
Everywhere you are, you're back at the palace with Stephen and Lacey, cause she's cool, and we're the Super Mega Crash Gang. That's the best I got.
I actually still know that one. It must have just seeped into my baby brain for so long that when it comes up, I can actually sing all of the lyrics, and I'm just like, why is that stuck with me?
I've got a lot to say about it because I don't want to mock it, but there's so much to say. So yeah, this is Super Mega Crash Beyond. I'm Steven. She's Lace. We're
what's up? Happy Monday.
There we go.
Gotta say it.
We are covering something.
Happy Monday. There you go.
We're covering something that I thought would be fun because I have kind of recently been on a binge of one of the shows that was kind of part of this. Mm-hmm. Did a binge of another one. I think it was last
year. Was there another
year.
One?
Well, there's several. Several.
Oh, you mean seasons.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about just another series. I was just like, oh, they redid another one?
Well, there was another series. Well, an original series we watched. I think it was like last year sometime. Early last year. Then we jumped onto another one of these older shows, and now we're following up with one of the newer shows.
Okay. We are remaking everything, though. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's the way it seems. So, what we are talking about, and this may be unknown to, or it might actually be well known. I don't know.
I feel like our audience probably would. Sure. I don't know. I feel like we're all about the same age group. You let us know, though.
And I even saw a little something right here that kind of surprised me, that there have been several runs of this. I didn't realize that it ever ended or how this worked. I don't know.
When I looked it up and saw how late some of it went, and I don't think, I remembered the shows, but I don't think it occurred to me at the time that it was still part of that lineup.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
You know, like I figured mid-90s, it just went away, but no, it went longer than I realized.
So what we're talking about is the ABC network used to do this run of shows.
Before they started canceling all their good stuff after a season.
Yeah. They used to do this block of shows on Friday nights, and they just called it TGIF, which, as we all know, is like, thank God it's Friday. But I think theirs was something like, thank goodness it's funny.
Yeah, something I feel like they were making the play on that. Yeah.
So it kind of worked on two different levels. And the idea was you would have like a two-hour block of sitcoms. So
usually four half-hour sitcoms.
Right. And for the most part, a lot of these shows that we are going to talk about will be shows that remained there for a long time, became associated with it, so much so that it was like, oh, yeah, well, this is why you have to be home to watch TV, because keep that in mind.
Appointment TV.
Appointment TV. You either watch it then or you don't watch it unless you had a VCR and you knew how to program it properly.
Or syndicate over the summer, you know.
But what's really interesting is, because we're going to bounce around, we're going to kind of talk about what we remember of it and some of the shows that we remember from it. But I guess what I'm really surprised to notice is, I guess I didn't realize how late it started. Again, this is one of those details that I don't have in my brain properly.
We were still little. You know, like single digits, even so, maybe double, just barely. I don't know.
For whatever reason, I thought this started when I was a little bit younger, and I was almost 10 the very first time they did this. And for some reason, that just feels like there should have been 2 years prior before. But I can't argue.
Time gets all jumbled up once you start getting that far removed from it. Yeah.
It's really sad, honestly.
Well, I think it's just humans. You can't remember that much stuff. Stuff's got to move for other new things to come in.
But I can't necessarily say I'm sure what spawned the whole thing, because I know that ABC had kind of been messing around with some different programming. I know that I think during this time they had the Wonderful World of Disney. There was a Sunday night staple, and I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive that the Wonderful World of Disney was on NBC at one point. I am almost positive of that.
They might, because did they really have, well, see, now I could be wrong. Did they have a channel yet? Like a dedicated, well, no, they had to be.
Well, see, they, now,
because like Mickey Mouse Club and.
As of right now, they, I mean, obviously they are kind of like co-owners of ABC, but I don't know at what point did they, because I'm sure we could look it up, but again, I'm trying to keep this flowing.
Sure.
I'm not
I mean,
sure
in
at what point they got into the ABC stock. Like, when did they say, like, oh, this is kind of ours
when
now?
Did they buy?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But during the 80s, you know, sitcoms were starting to pick up. You had a lot of, I mean, so many damn sitcoms. I mean, we could probably break.
Probably the heyday.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, especially when it came to like multicam, you know, live audience, like you were going to see a play, a recorded play, basically.
Yeah. So when they started this.
And when they were good.
Yeah. And they were.
Because they've not been able to capture that magic lately at all the same way.
When they did these, or when they started this block of sitcoms on TGIF, as it were, they were already well-established sitcoms. So I think they took their hit shows.
Were they?
Some of them were, yeah. See, I think there was that. One that maybe had not, like it wasn't bad. I think it just hadn't quite found its stride yet. But I'm almost positive the other three had been on for a few years. So they kind of were just like,
well,
hey, let's
that makes sense.
Do this powerhouse, you know, and just stick them in there and let's see what happens. So,
yeah, if they were successful, I guess that makes sense. Be like, oh, you like those shows? Hey, we've moved this block with other great shows that you'll probably like. That was probably smart.
So the initial lineup starting in 88-89 season for this TGIF was Perfect Strangers.
Okay.
Full House.
Yep.
Mr. Belvedere, which blew my mind. I was like, oh, shit.
I don't know if I remembered that being on TGIF.
I didn't either. I thought it was a midweek show.
Yeah.
And then.
Maybe it was at some point. I don't know.
I think the only reason I knew about this show was because of TGIF, and that was Just the Ten of Us, which here's a fact I learned today.
Oh, yeah?
That show was a spinoff of Growing Pains. Did not know that.
I had no clue either. How? Who did they share?
I don't know. But I just, I saw that and I was like, wait a second, what? So I didn't do the, let me dig.
Because I know some of the other shows were like a spinoff of other shows that were on TGIF, but.
It was a coach. And that's usually what it is. It's always some random character that no one's really paying attention to, but it was the coach.
Sure, yeah.
The father of. The group, the 10 of us, as it were, or the other nine, or eight. I don't know how many kids I have. Anyway,
lots
point
of
being.
People.
The coach in that was, a coach in Growing Pains. So he's playing the same character. And then
Coach Graham Lubbock, or however you say that.
Yeah.
All right.
So something of that nature. I vaguely remember details of this. And I did not realize that they went to a Catholic school. Did you?
No. Well, I don't remember.
But that's
like, I'm probably not going to remember huge details of a lot of these shows. It's been a minute. I've probably left them in TGIF.
But that explains so much about Kirk Cameron.
Well,
in a way.
And probably why there was 10 of them.
Yeah. I mean, because
Catholics like to have babies, you know.
Because I would have never, and I don't want to go too deep down a Growing Pains rabbit hole, but since it got brought up, and it's here.
Since I mentioned
it's just, I know I've watched that show.
Yeah.
And that is actually one of the, a show that actually, to my understanding, is the first time I saw actress Ashley Johnson, who everybody might know as the voice of Ellie from The Last of Us. And then Leonardo DiCaprio, got his start.
Yeah. Not at the time, of course, but like after the fact, I was like, oh, yeah, he, and I remember that episode vaguely too. So,
how did we not hear that they went to a cat? I'm sorry. I know I'm harping on
it. Did they not
this.
Ever mention it? Or is this just we probably weren't paying attention to that detail at the time?
It, well,
they had to have mentioned it, right?
It had to have been, okay, wait a second. No. There it is. Yeah. And it, all boys, private Catholic school. So did Kara, or what's his name? Mike Seaver? Yeah. Didn't he go? They went to that school. Had to have. Unless they.
I mean. Huh.
No.
Yeah, I
okay,
don't know why
okay.
I don't.
Wait
think
a second.
That.
All right.
Does it even say it? Because gym teacher Graham and his wife Elizabeth live in Eureka, California with their 8 children. That's the only description I'm seeing. There.
Okay. Sorry. Here's the detail I'm missing. So he was a high school gym teacher at the high school that Mike and Carol went to, which were the kids.
Okay.
But then,
But
then his job at that school got cut because of budgetary whatever. So They move and he gets a job at the St. Augustine's Academy, which is an all boys private Catholic school in a different. Okay. So he wasn't initially, Mike and Carol didn't go to the Catholic school. He got a job at the Catholic school after the fact.
All boys, though? So where did his daughters go?
I guess not to that school.
Because I'm like looking at the picture now just to refresh my memory. And I'm like, he doesn't just have boys.
Hang on.
And I see them in sweats.
Yeah. Here we go. I'm reading the details here. By special arrangement, the older children, 4 teenage girls, as it were, were allowed to attend, much to the chagrin of the school's administration.
I don't feel like that's safe.
It doesn't seem very safe because you're disrupting the boys' academy thing.
Where are they going to go? Do they even have, well, whatever. It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
That's the show they made.
That is the show they made.
Like, I could start breaking it all apart, but. Oh, those poor girls.
So we started this off.
It's stinky, smelly school with all these boys. These poor women.
So we started this off by talking about the show.
It's just all the torture. I'm sorry.
But no. This is actually good because that's one thing I want people to understand. These sitcoms, I don't feel like they were all that complicated back in the day. You know, when you really start looking at like the origins of sitcoms, I could be wrong. I'm sure someone's going to point it out and tell me it's like, well, actually, this one was more complicated. Okay. Yeah. But the idea of a sitcom, it's a situation that seems a little out of the ordinary that could lead to some humor. So that's bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. That probably didn't happen ever. Well, no.
You don't know.
I don't know. It's very strange. And it's like you wouldn't see it as problematic then as I'm seeing it now.
But keep this in mind. This is a very interesting detail as well. We're also talking about one of their starting shows that was, I do remember at the ass end, it was like the 8:30 block where it was just like, you know, maybe you'll watch it. Maybe
we've all checked out by now. Yeah. Our pizza's been ate. We're done. Yeah.
But that was a spinoff. And yet I'm almost positive at least the starting one had a spinoff too that became more popular than that one. I'm not sure if
I probably know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Mr. Belvedere had any spinoffs like that. Well, let's talk about that one for a minute. Do you remember this show at all?
Vaguely. Again, like I know I watched them all, but probably was left in that time slot 30 years ago. But yes, for all intents and purposes, I do remember the show.
I have vague recollections of this show. Like, I remember what it was about.
Yeah, like, I'm looking at the cast. I'm like, I've seen that in my past. So, yeah.
Like, I don't even think that I, and this may just be my own ignorance, but the actual guy who played Mr. Belvedere, I couldn't tell you another damn thing that I've seen him in. But I probably have and just not realized
for some reason he reminds me of someone who would have probably been in a lot of Monty Python flicks just from his look. I don't know why. Like, it just, like, that looks like where you belonged. Now I'm kind of going back because you said it. And oh, I remember the series Heart to Heart. He was on an episode. Okay. He must have passed away or something.
He doesn't look like he's done a lot, which.
No, it stopped at 97. So I'm wondering if he retired or passed away or.
Say.
Yeah, no, these don't look familiar.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. I was about to sit there and say, I was like, what? The last episode he did, Saved by the Belvedere. But he apparently played himself, yeah. So I guess he wasn't.
In the producers.
Okay, fine. Oh, look
at
that.
One movie.
He played King Koopa on a Mario Ice Capades. How did I miss that?
Well, I'm sure you weren't, like, he wasn't in your brain.
No, but in 1989, I feel like I would have. It was a special on ABC. How did I miss this? It feels like I would have been the prime audience for this. What the hell?
Interesting. Yeah. No. Marketing. Just got to do it better.
So, yeah. Apparently in that show, the guy, his name is Christopher Hewitt. He plays Mr. Belvedere, and he's like a very proper, posh British butler. And he has to go live. And I can't remember why he went to go live with them or like how all that got started. But he pretty much moved in with a... Would you call him lower class?
A housekeeper. Huh?
Would you call him lower class?
If you have a butler, you're not lower class.
But I don't feel like they were high class either. So
I
understand the premise of this show.
A world where poor people have a butler. Hold on. Let's see if we can dig deeper here. Look at us. We're doing this on the fly. Preparation. Pah! All right. Let's see. It just says the humorous adventures of an English housekeeper working for an American family.
Okay. Well, I you know.
So maybe he needed a green card. I don't know.
Whatever it is, it's a ridiculous premise about a guy who shouldn't be in this situation, and now he thinks he's better than them, and then he has to learn humility living with the people who aren't as good as him and you whatever. Know, and
living in the slums with the rest of us.
Yeah. And
a big-ass house that looks nice.
It's one of those shows that I know that I watched from time to time,
yeah,
but I couldn't tell you a damn thing about it.
Nothing sticks out hard at all. No, but like looking at it, I'm like, I know I've seen this.
Sure. It's kind of like Webster. I know of Webster. I know I watched episodes of Webster, but I couldn't tell you a damn thing about it.
I couldn't pinpoint one episode. No. Yeah. Well, yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah. So
Mr. Belvedere. It's on okay. 5 years. That's a decent run, I think, for shows.
Sure.
You know, once you get to like 4 or 5 seasons, I feel like that's a good run for a TV series.
Okay.
Of that kind.
So, trying to decide which one I'm going to talk about first out of the other two, because those are the starting points. Those are the pinnacles.
Well, which one? Okay. So, you said Full House, Mr. Belvedere.
Just the 10 of Us.
Just the 10 of Us. Perfect, what was the fourth one?
Perfect Strangers.
Perfect Strangers. I remember that one a little bit more.
All right, let's start with
and
that.
Not
one
a lot,
because I feel like this is going to start a rabbit hole, and I know Full House totally will too. So we'll get to it. So Perfect Strangers, if you're unfamiliar with the show, had was pretty much the premise of it was a guy from this fictional country, which cannot remember for the life. Hold on. He would always say, well, back in Muipos. That is it.
Oh, yes.
He was Greek. That's right. Muipos. So he would say, or he went off into the world and was going to go find his way. And they even sang a song, Standing Tall on the
Wind. Well, wasn't dude like he was moving out on his own, right? He finally got his own place. And then like, he's like, I'm moving out of my country and I'm going to come live with you or something. It's like,
yeah, like I don't know if he went to him directly. Again, it's been so
or
long.
Like family was like, you should take him in.
Yeah, like I think maybe
something like that.
He had gone on his journey out into the world and then he wound up, you know, tracking him down. And then I think it got to the point where it was like, well, I have nowhere to go. So if I could just stay with you. And then it just, I don't remember all the details. But
I think it was like, you know, the language barriers and cultures was where you got your comedy, because you'd be misunderstanding each other or something, you know.
It's the fish out of water scenario, and then
there you go.
He apparently came from some lowly, like they had no technology.
Like he lived in a hut or something.
Yeah, like they were Amish or something, living somewhere in this fictional country with, and the two actors, Marklyn Baker and Bronson Pinchot,
they had good chemistry.
They had good, great chemistry, okay?
Yeah, I mean, they had good chemistry.
Despite what you may say about the show, which, you know, I've kind of wanted to go back and check it out again. Maybe there's something that I've forgotten. Maybe there's comedy gold in there that I've just completely passed. I'm sure I've forgotten
all of it. Yeah.
But they were, I mean, if anybody was a breakout star, it was obviously Bronson Pinchot, because everybody would go around doing his little catch for, well, of course not, don't be ridiculous.
I remember that. Yeah,
and then
it did like 70s show like steal that or something then, because I feel like I can remember Fez doing that line or something.
He did. What was his thing? I feel like he had more than one, but I think the one I always remember the most is like, "I said good day," and they were like, "But I I said good day,
good day,"
and then go back.
Or maybe I'm confusing him, but I feel like I could see him saying that too. Who knows? Yeah. But yes, wherever he was supposedly from.
I don't think we ever heard. I think that was still a mystery.
Yeah, like it's just one of those leave it ambiguous, yeah.
But from what I remember of the show, I that was one of those that I think I watched a little bit more because, again, Bronson Pinchot, I think, was kind of the draw, because he was a funny guy with a funny voice, and he was always just...
It was just silly.
Doing all the funny things, so you're just like, oh, I like this guy. And I feel like he had another catchphrase, but I can't remember. But I also remember that the two of them... I feel like they had a handshake dance or something. Do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was almost like a little dancey thing. I feel like where he had his like hand on his hip and they were.
Yeah. And they were just. And they would always do the
something
thing
from my home country or whatever.
Yeah.
We do. Yes. Should have had more time to go. Now we are so happy. We do the dance of joy.
Yeah.
There's another one.
It's like that.
Because I was like, there's got to be another one. I'm looking, forgetting here. Yeah.
But for what, like the show took place in Chicago. Yeah. Did any of that look familiar when they would come around the shots in the cities?
You know what? I'd have to go back and watch because I was not in Chicago yet. Ah. I'm not from here. I've only lived here. I'm a transplant from like 2007. So.
Gotcha.
I grew up in Southern Illinois.
And, you know, there was really nothing to it. I mean, it was just what crazy situations could you put these two into?
Right.
And I think they eventually kind of, because initially it was about the fish out of water thing that I said, where trying to acclimate Balky to the craziness of Chicago, you know, don't get shanked at the bus stop or whatever.
Were they still doing that then?
Yeah. But I think at some point you saw that they kind of, I mean, they loved each other. You know, they got to know each other. They got to where they were actually working together. Like that was kind of part of a storyline. I can't remember what they did, but I remember they had jobs, and then they even had like, I don't want to call them sister wives, but they had two best friends, and then they both married the best friends of the best friends, and then... It was a whole group thing, you know. It's like you had one, you had the other.
We kept it close.
Yeah. So it was one that I kept up with, but I think its spinoff is the one that most people remember.
For sure.
And
like, yeah, you know it right away.
I was trying to figure out if there was another spinoff here. From this show.
From Perfect Strangers?
But I could be wrong. Maybe I'm confusing it with something else because...
Yeah, Harriet's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, because in this show, yeah, we'll go there. I think it was the third season is what I'm going to... I'm going to stick with that. Third season.
I'll believe you because I'm not going to know. Yeah.
Somewhere in the third season, we get to meet Harriet, and she is a... elevator operator in this building that they work in. She's a know nothing character, but they give her just enough, and then people take note and they're like, oh, she's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then
this chick's fun. Yeah.
Then I think it was in the following season that they kind of expanded her a little bit, and we got to start to see her husband Carl. He would show up.
Yeah.
And somewhere in this you know, crazy situation. They're like, hey, you know what we need to do? We need to take Harriet and Carl and we need to give them their own show, spin them off, and, you know, let them do their thing. This led to Family Matters. And everybody knows, or I feel like a lot of people should know, if you don't know it as the title show, Family Matters, you know it as Urkel.
Because can I do that?
Yeah. That's what people would always call it, is like, hey, you want to go watch Urkel? It's like, sure. It was just easier.
Much
that
to that actress's chagrin.
Yeah, because I guess we could talk about that.
I feel like we've talked about it a little bit on the show, but yeah, worth a mention here.
So, quick TLDR, the show that was spun off.
Planned.
That was planned, yes, was meant to show Harriet and Carl in Chicago in their little...
the Winslows.
Suburban. Well, shit, I would you just call that suburban? Where they lived? I don't think that was quite suburban.
I mean, I'm trying to remember the outside of it.
It kind of looked like one of those areas where the houses are kind of stacked on top of one another down the long street, and you can kind of see the city.
Oh, yeah, that could be in the city. Yeah, where they're like butt up against each other. Yeah, we can. There's like not even a foot sometimes between our houses.
Yeah, they look like they lived in your part of
suburbs. Town. They would have a yard.
That's true. That's true.
Trust me, because I've lived in the burbs too. It's a lot different.
But. Yes. I'll say they live about where, in kind of a general area as to where you live. Because
probably
I've seen pictures. Maybe not at the front or anything, but you've shown me the pictures outside.
Like around that house. Yeah,
similar neighborhoods maybe. You might have lived next door to the Winslows and not even known it. But
yeah, maybe. They like to shoot a lot in Logan Square, which is really just next door to me. I mean, it is right there.
But... the show itself was meant to be focused on a black family living in Chicago and, I don't know, try to find humor and things like in their lives and what have you.
And trust me, I don't know what it was like back then, but their house had to have cost them a crap ton.
Yeah, that was a big house. Of course, a lot of these.
Especially if they were in the city. I know it's gotten considerably worse now, but I can't imagine it was like, it had to be still expensive for then.
Sure, yeah.
Illinois loves taxes, and Cook County loves them even more.
So,
like, it's got to be dumb. So that's why I'm like, on a cop salary, I don't know. And for elevator lady, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd have to go look up what all of it was for cost of living then.
But no, there was a lot that you start to look at and you're like,
Well, I mean, friends, like, they could have afforded those apartments in New York on their pay, you know, like... it's all ridiculous.
One of the other shows we're going to talk about, Jesus Christ, I will get to that.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot to break down with that one. So this, the idea, again, was to focus on this family, and you had various characters. You had the son, two daughters. Mm-hmm.
Their family.
A baby. Well, no. Yeah, there was a baby because it was Rachel, the sister of the mom.
The sister.
And she had her son.
Aunt.
Yeah. And she was, I think she had been displaced, like she got in a divorce, had nowhere else to go, so she moved in.
Something like that.
Then they had the grandmother, who I think also lived there. It was a lot of people living there.
It was a full house.
Which we'll talk about. Oh, you know, I don't know what the series would have been. I'm curious. Like, I am really too, curious.
Or how long it would have gone or anything like that. Yeah. It never got a chance, really.
Because I genuinely think had Steve Urkel not showed up, first season, mind you.
Right.
Like, somewhere in the middle, I think, like, halfway point, he shows up and then suddenly becomes this breakout star. And the writers are like, hey, let's keep putting this kid in. Until it eventually became like, hey, let's just write everything around this kid.
Yeah.
So the show is now no longer about the family, but more about this neighbor kid coming around and annoying the fuck out of this family on a regular basis.
Steve!
And while it's funny, like there were genuine moments at times where...
Poor Laura.
It can be... Yeah, poor Laura. Jesus Christ. Like... you talk about being beaten into submission on loving somebody.
Again, like we said back then, like, oh, this is romantic. I'm like, is it though?
I mean, look, I have problems with
to that. Wear them down where they're like, fine, you know, that's so romantic.
Because that's literally what it seems like. Now, granted, maybe her feelings changed because it wasn't like she ever, she would treat him like shit. But what would happen is it would be she says something or does something, treats him like shit, and then she sees his heart break and he's just like, I'm just so sorry, Laura. I just love you so much and I just can't help it. And then he walks away all sad, and then now she feels bad and she's like, I'm sorry, Steve. I
manipulative.
Yeah.
He was a little manipulative bastard. That's what he was.
And, you know, he could have been being honest, but. This is the same thread always followed through. It's just like, okay, so now here comes a time she insults him. Now he's going to be sad, and then she's going to feel guilty, and we got it. And then we even saw how shallow she was when he became Stefan Urkel.
Oh, well, yeah.
When he was all sexy.
She's like, oh, he can clean up, can
he?
Yeah,
and it was like, okay.
And it's still the same trope. Take off their glasses, and they're a hottie, you know?
He did stand up
and put a suit on him, but you know, he did stand up straight too. But yeah,
but
it's still funny that it's like it works for dudes also. Just take off their glasses and they're a smoke show now, you know.
So I don't know if anybody watched the Urkel show, as we'll just affectionately refer to
it
as, because I genuinely feel like that's what it was. There were funny moments. Don't get me wrong. This is one of the shows that I actually rewatched, I think not recently, but recent enough.
I over the last year, I feel like I went back and watched the first couple maybe episodes. Maybe after we talked about it last a year or two ago, for some reason we got on that topic and I went and watched the first couple to remind myself. I was like, oh yeah, he wasn't in it right away, you know, because my baby brain just only remembers Steve.
Sure, yeah.
Being in the show, you know.
For whatever reason, why that took off, but... After watching it, I think it goes off into some really ridiculous territory.
Oh God!
Like they really just said, you know what? Fuck it, whatever. It doesn't matter.
It definitely goes out of reality, dear.
To an insane degree. But for whatever reason, there were just moments in there that were pretty damn funny. Like I remember getting some pretty big belly laughs because of him. And something he would say or something he would do. And sometimes it would even be the damn catchphrase, because he had several. And I think the one that always got me the most is when something would break. And I know that people are always like, yeah, I knew that. Shit could be funny. Mm-hmm. Got it. But it was always the one where he was not responsible. And he could just look at them and shake his head and go, look what you did. And that shit would crack me up.
Yes, now I'm remembering it. Yeah.
I think a little bit more. Because he would just give him that, look what you did.
Like, just looking at you so disapprovingly, like, of all people.
Yeah.
To do,
all the shit you pull, and this is what you want to do.
Yeah, no, that's great.
But now let's talk about the other one, because I feel like I can talk about this one in greater detail. And there are more in this list, but this is just where we're starting. Let's talk about Full House.
All right, let's do it.
I can talk about this at length now, because this was one that I had been watching. Like, I think I mentioned it in previous episodes. Full House was something that I wasn't looking to rewatch. Like, it wasn't something on my radar, because in my head, okay, keep this in mind. I'm sure you remember the show.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, for some reason, I remember that one more than any of them, and I don't know why.
In my head, and I think when it showed up on this block, I want to say that maybe it had been on for maybe 2 to 3 years at this point. So it had been established, you know.
Okay.
I'm almost positive it had been on for quite a bit. So when we came to start watching it, it was pretty much Katrina said, hey, would you want to watch it? Like, she had some itch she needed to scratch. And I was like, because in my head now, for whatever reason, I was just like this saccharine.
Oh, just God.
Lovey, hug it out bullshit. Just all like, I was so cynical about even coming back to was like, fuck this show. I don't know why that's where my head was when we started.
Well, did it prove you wrong?
Yes and no.
Really? Because yep. I feel like even every time I've rewatched an episode, we always play the music. We always have the lesson that we needed to learn. You know, like it was always the same formula. And it would kill me every time the music played because I'm like, oh, my God, here comes the lesson. Here comes the pep talk from Danny, you know. Or
I say or Jesse. I say yes and no because okay. while, yes, every episode.
Every episode.
The shit would happen. The lead up, there may have been something in there worth checking out, something that would have been funny, a storyline that was actually worth exploring. But mm-hmm. I also admit that as we were rewatching these, as the seasons progressed and the shit would start, mm-hmm. I would find myself going, here we go again. Or something like that. And especially mm-hmm. when, now, I don't know whether or not things were different back in the 80s. I know they were, oh, but I mean totally. In a sense of how we handled things. Because there would be times where the kids would say or do something, and I was just shaking my head going, what? No. Uh-uh. And I would just be so upset about the situation being written here. Like, DJ would come in, and she would just start lambasting Stephanie with insults and shit. It's like, what the fuck? Who the fuck made you queen of this room,
what
bitch?
What's wrong with you, lady? Yeah. But isn't that sisters? Like,
they're siblings. Sisters. I get that. But yeah. when you would just hear her say these things, it was like, you're being fucking hateful right now. Shut your mouth. Yeah. If I was your dad, I would slap the shit out of you, but I'm not Danny Tanner. You know, yeah. it's just how they were talking to one another. Sometimes it's like, why are you allowing this to happen?
Kids will be kids.
Kids would be angry at the adult for doing the adult shit. And then the adults would go into this like they're disappointed. I was like, no, you don't be, you stand your ground. Don't you go up there and talk to her.
Here.
What are you doing? Yep. Don't. But there are times like Danny would have those moments, but he would be firm. And those were the moments I was like, good. But you would still yeah. have the
dad in you now watching it from this lens.
Yeah.
Like, don't you dare let those kids. Like.
Oh, there was an entire episode where, and as a parent, this bugged the shit out of me just a little bit. The girls were at each other's throats for whatever reason that day. Like they were just not in a, they were just combative to one another.
In a mood. Yeah.
Going to Danny's room, DJ was trying to steal some of his clothes or something like that. Steph comes in. She's like, yeah, what are you doing? I'm going to stop you from doing that. And she's like, oh, you get out of here. And then every time they would go into one of these fights, they would always tug of war on some shit. And it was like, just let it go. What are you doing? Stop with the tug of war shit.
Yep. And so they could break something and be in a cahoots together about something.
Yeah.
This
particular experience led to a hole in the wall. Okay.
Okay.
How are you going to hide that? Well, what do? They hide it. They hide it very well. In fact, they are not caught. And I'm like, no, this is the wrong lesson to be learned here.
What are you teaching the kids watching right now?
Yeah. As a parent, that's what I was like, bullshit. They should have been caught. I was so mad.
Right?
But
get away with this shit.
Yeah, it would be kind of back and forth when I would watch it because, you know, I love Bob Saget. I think he was a talent. I mean, John Stamos, he's pretty easy on the eyes, you know. And he was,
back then especially, they were all like, woo. No, he's a good-looking guy.
And he was, I kind of respected a little bit his comedic chops, like what he was trying to do. Because he had his own little flair. Like, I could have done without the whole, hey, look at me, I'm going to sing with the Beach Boys shit that they would do all the time.
Well, that was the character, though. He loved to sing and music and, you know.
And they sure did not pull back on the singing thing in the new series.
And the Elvis and everything, you know, that he like, oh, you know.
I get it.
Yeah.
But it would just, occasionally you'd have that moment where it's like, oh God, here we go. He's going to sing again. And again, I'm not saying it's bad. It was just like.
I feel like we liked that a lot more in TV and stuff then too, or it's like musicals and stuff like that, you know.
Perhaps.
Maybe we still do now and I just avoid them, but.
But, I mean, he wasn't a bad character. He was I appreciated his character a lot more now as an adult, kind of seeing it through a different lens. I don't know if I could relate to him specifically, but I loved his timing, like his comedic timing sure. with a lot of things, because I think he did a really good job. Mm-hmm. Same with Dave Coulier. I think he was probably one of the bigger draws, especially as a kid, since he did the funny voices.
Oh yeah, and he had the puppets and the
cut it out. I just didn't realize how limited his repertoire was, because it was always Bullwinkle, Popeye, or Mr. Woodchuck. And
yeah, Mr. Woodchuck's the one I remember the most for some reason. Because he had the show for a little bit where he was Ranger Joe.
Ranger Joe.
He's the greatest guy I know. Ranger Joe. That's what I remember.
You can tell that I've watched it recently.
Yeah.
You know, the kids, we'll talk about them in a minute. Trying to think of anything else.
I had to bring up the cast list so I could remember everybody.
So, Lori Loughlin, I'm sure we all remember.
We might know her now.
Yeah, since she tried to get her kids into school illegally.
I don't know if she ended up paying a fine or actually having to go to jail. I think it was the other chick that went to jail for like 10 days, like Macy's wife, William H. Macy's wife, because she was also doing it. Yeah. Yeah. Like, your money wasn't enough.
Why would you do this? Like,
well,
you know
they said
illegal.
It's just because it looks better on the acceptance exams or whatever if your kid looks like some big shot sports person or whatever. Because it was like for rowing or something, you know, like, I don't know. You'd feel like you'd have sports records from high school and stuff if that's stuff you did. I don't know. Rich people get away with everything. There's like laws for us, and then there's whatever they can't pay their way out of. Side tangent. But yes, if you might know Lori Loughlin now, but originally we knew her from Full House as an actress.
It's funny too, because she's like, I try, we made so many, and still do, make so many jokes when college is brought up or something like that. I think most recently there was something like one of the kids was like, how am I going to get into college? And it's like, ask Aunt Becky.
Yes.
That's where we leave it. But she just became a target for those jokes every time that they came up. So
what happens? And I still think it's funny that she's the one we remember the most when she wasn't even the only one. There was like three of them, I think, at the time, but whatever. So
yeah, she was TV's Aunt Becky. She was supposed to be all perfect and nice. Mm-hmm. And now you know how she got her kids into college.
And I'm sure they love it, too. Makes me wonder if the kids actually knew. Part of me wants to say yes, but if they didn't, oh my God, you just ruined their chances, you know? Like, I feel like being a celebrity's kid probably was already getting you fairly far.
You'd think so.
Like, life's got to be fairly easier on you in a lot of aspects when you're born into money like that and fame.
Hmm. Sure.
Anyway, tangent.
The show actually ran, I think, for 8 seasons.
I was going to say, I know it wasn't quite 10, but it was like 8 or 9, something like that. It lasted a good minute.
So during that whole run, I really don't know what to say. Like I said, for what it was, I think I had to ease back into the idea of what the show is.
So yeah, it's the same thing.
I had to ease my way back into what the show was, you know?
Yeah.
So I could prepare myself mentally. The song itself, that guy, I can't remember his name. I did look it up. But all I can hear, or all I could hear initially when it would start, it was like, whatever happened to the Zeds of 15?
Yeah.
Midman, the paper boy. Yeah. It was like, what are you saying? Because like for the longest time, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, the very first word. It took me forever. And
the
I looked
predictability.
It up, I like, oh. Yeah, predictability. I didn't hear it. I was just like, what have I happened to?
Yeah.
What did you say?
Yeah.
Say scat. It again.
Is that a word?
Yeah, I was just trying. I was like, I know he's saying something. I just can't understand it. And then when I finally contextualized it, had the word, and it was like, okay, now I can hear it. Mm-hmm. You just got to get the marbles out of your mouth.
Yeah,
because I can't understand.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was just saying gibberish. But,
I mean,
it's a catchy song. Don't get me wrong. Probably the catchiest out of the lot. Would you disagree?
I think it's the only one that really sticks out in my brain, so I'm going to have to agree.
Because,
like, I kind of remember the Family Matters one a little bit, but I can sing the whole song for Family Matters. For some reason, it's still in my brain that well. And I can't remember much. That ought to tell you something. Things don't stick in my brain.
To my understanding, a lot of these shows, it was the same guy. Because
I can't believe that. Like, yeah, they hired a dude to do their stuff. And
he was like the TV theme guy. So, going back to Family Matters, I think his was like, when days go by.
Yeah.
And then he'd go, and Zibble.
But it was supposed to be something about the family. Yep.
And I'm trying to remember Perfect Strangers because...
I'm not going to remember that one at all.
I felt like I was singing it a minute ago. It was something like, standing tall on the winds of our wings or something like that.
Yeah, that one, I got nothing. Sorry. That
even had like a little missing harmonica at the end. Nothing gonna let you down.
Ah, TV theme songs.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But yeah, Full House, I think, had the catchiest one. Mm-hmm. And... you know, it just, they, because I'm going to have to just lean into the new series, because I have been watching it. I'm not 100%, I'm not through with
it. I tried. I'll admit. I did try.
Well, let me explain what happened, okay?
Okay.
Because
as
we
to, like,
also.
Why you were.
Well, we also did try when it started.
Yeah.
Something wasn't clicking.
Oh, man.
Well, we were not firing on those cylinders, so we just kind of was like, eh, and like, then walked yeah. away. Having just watched Full House and then coming into this show almost immediately, it softened the blow. It's like it helped you ease into it, because when they're trying to do some of that old stuff, but then trying to also find their own voice,
mm-hmm.
because it's like they took that... And then said, all right, well, what if we age it up just a little bit? So we're not the sugar saccharin all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we can make riskier jokes here and there.
Like
and
Stephanie
we're also
is,
gonna,
of course, the, I guess.
The buxom blonde.
Yeah.
And
dates a lot, I guess, is the classy way to say it. I don't know.
Sure. And they, where was I going with this?
Sorry.
The jokes and everything, like I said, they tried to do riskier things. They even started poking fun at the jokes they were going to start doing. So trying to figure out what they were trying to do, again, coming in with that understanding of what the show initially was,
mm-hmm.
and already having that fresh in your brain, it helped you ease into it, because you're like, all right, so it feels familiar, but you can already see the differences because there's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you wouldn't even notice it at first, but they remodeled the entire kitchen. Like, we were sitting there thinking, wait a minute, wasn't the stove over here?
I don't know if I paid that much attention.
Yeah, the sink was usually in the forefront. Now it's in the back. The stove, I thought.
Yeah, because it was in the island.
I thought that even the stove was in the island. Now it's sitting over there on the main
see,
shelf
I
under the
cabinet. I feel like the stove was against the wall where the door was between the living room and the kitchen. Like, fridge, stove, counter, island.
That's what I thought,
too. And then dining table, and then into the basement, and then you went to the back, and then it was another way to go upstairs. Because they had two stairways.
Oh boy, we're going to talk. All right, you started it. That's the one. That's the other topic. The house.
The house.
Okay, so I'm going to use Bob's Burgers as an example. I know this doesn't relate, but okay. It was a show we were watching simultaneously, right?
Mm-hmm.
During the run of Bob's Burgers, while we were watching it, we started to look at the apartment. And we were just like, where's everybody's room? And we started to piece it together. We're like, all right, so if you come up the stairs
mm-hmm.
and you hang a left,
mm-hmm.
you got one or two ways to go. So say if you hang a left after you get to the left of the stairs. That's going to lead you directly to Jean's room right in front of you.
Uh-huh.
To your left of Jean's room's door is a closet. To the right leads into the living room.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now if you're in the living room, there's a door in the living room. That leads into Bob and Linda's bedroom.
Oh, see, I thought that's where the kitchen went.
No, hang on.
Okay.
That's their bedroom. And they have a closet on the opposite side of the door or opposite side of the room where the entrance is. But if you're coming in through the living room, okay, if you're coming in through that door into their bedroom from the living area.
Okay, I'm looking at their TV and I've turned to the right and I'm in their bedroom.
To the right of that door is another door that leads back out to that main hallway. Which yeah. I always thought was kind of weird, but I was like, all right, well, whatever. Okay, so now if we go out of that second door of their bedroom and hang a right, like we're heading back toward the stairs, or hang a left going back toward the stairs, you'll have a door in front of you, and then you'll have a door on your right when you get to the corner.
Okay.
The door in front of you is Tina's room. The door to your right, or no, sorry, not Tina. Yeah, Tina. And then Louise's room is on the right. It's a very small little room.
I was going to say that doesn't track.
Hang on.
It
does.
In a circle. Oh, does it?
It does. Okay. Yep. To our left, if you go straight down that hallway, you'll have the bathroom. And then to your left going down that hallway is the kitchen. It all tracks.
Okay. If you say okay. So. Like I must have had it backwards in my head which direction we were going.
Like we mapped this out and even kind of looked at it and was like, that makes sense.
Okay.
Makes sense, okay? Mm-hmm. It fits the layout right, of the restaurant yeah. down below.
Sure.
Once we figured out where everyone's rooms are and that everyone had their own room, where they were placed in the house made sense.
Okay.
As soon as we had it, nothing changed. It made sense. We're like, yes, we got it. This fucking house in full house makes
mad.
No sense. I have tried to understand it. I do not.
Do they still have the stairs in the front room, though?
Yes.
Okay. Because like okay. that always seems strange to me anyway, because like the way that you went up the stairs and they had like a balcony-ish that would look over, yeah. like does that just lead straight to the other set of stairs that then turns around and goes the opposite direction? Because it looks like the stairs both go to the right. So sure. where is the stairs in the kitchen going?
Right. Okay. This is where I got confused because I kept watching people go up the front stairs. And then every time they would cut to the hallway in the upstairs where the rooms are,
uh-huh.
they would always be coming up from the left. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. But then you'd see another episode, they go up through the kitchen, and they're again coming up through the left. I was like, now, wait a second.
Hey, guys. Yeah. Could you reverse the image at least to make it look like they came from yeah. the right? Yeah.
So I started thinking. I was like, all right, so... Before I saw them come up those same set of stairs mm-hmm. from the left, I thought there was another set on the back end. You know, like if yeah. you followed the hallway down, there would be another set of stairs that would take you to the kitchen.
Sure.
But then them coming up that same set, I was like, okay, well then clearly they would have to meet, like you said.
Yeah,
they'd
where's have the to meet person somewhere. Who does the continuity shots? Did they not hire that person? I don't know.
Furthermore... Furthermore,
uh-huh.
if you even try to figure out where the stairs meet, then where are all the rooms upstairs? Okay? Because if they meet at the back end, okay, maybe, and then...
I guess over the kitchen seems to be the only place it could be. Because there would be over through... the living room. Because that's where the stairs are in the balcony. So there's no room that sits above the living room. There just can't be. So it seems like all of it would have to be over the kitchen. All of it.
Which
all of their bedrooms.
Up.
No, there's not enough space. Because they all have their... Well, wait. Did Stephanie and DJ share a room? I feel like they did. And
yeah.
then DJ got her own and then Stephanie had to share it with Michelle.
Because you had four bedrooms upstairs plus two bathrooms upstairs.
Yeah.
Because you
and
had...
And the basement was full. Yeah.
Yeah. You had Michelle's room, DJ and Steph, and then what used to be Jesse's room. The main bathroom,
uh-huh.
and then Danny's room, which also had its own bathroom. That was all upstairs.
Yeah.
Then the basement downstairs, which became Joey's room.
I remember Danny's room having the bathroom, though. I just remember the walk-in closet, the bed, the dresser. Was the fourth wall technically where the bathroom would have been?
It was like right by the front door. Like when you kind of come in, you could kind of
maybe I thought it was a closet or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Because you'd never know.
Yeah.
I mean, the layout
the house
makes
is
no
just
sense.
Weird. Yeah. Yeah.
You start looking at it. There are even two sets of stairs going downstairs into the basement.
Where's the second set?
Good question. I don't know.
I've only ever seen seen the one in the kitchen.
Exactly.
So but, where's this other set? But if you're in the basement, you see two sets of stairs?
Yeah, going up two different ways.
Interesting. So, unless one goes outside, like you have those storm doors. Maybe it's outside.
But they never showed it. And there have been times where people would be coming downstairs and they would be coming from like the upstairs. The same problem. It's like, pick a side.
Gosh, yeah. Somebody wasn't paying attention.
No. That drove me up the wall.
Yeah. Okay.
So in the new series, they have made a note to point out little things like that. Like they have made that joke where one of the new kids is just like, this house does not make any sense. Like something would happen or something like that. And you just hear them kind of crack that little joke. Like this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Like, and then they'll just kind of go on their way.
Oh, well, that's kind of cute.
They made another one, which I really did appreciate. Cause you'd think depending on how you tell the joke, it could be a little lame and you'd be like, ah, but if it's done just so, kind of like what we said with farts.
Yeah.
You know, you do a good fart joke. Mm-hmm. It's good. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd been second or third season before they did this. So I think I appreciated that too, because they didn't do it immediately. But there was this joke during, like DJ was talking about when she was with her boyfriend or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah. And you know what's weird? She's like, every time we kiss, I just feel like I hear people going, woo, in the background. It's like, I can't explain it.
It's so magical.
Yeah. And then later on in the episode, like she said something to him about it and then they kissed. And then of course the crowd,
the audience, woo, yeah.
And he's like, you know what? I think I heard it that time. And then
they did that a little bit, I think, breaking that fourth wall, because I think I only made it. I tried my best to get through the first season and I just feel like I just couldn't. But I remembered them making the joke, the jab, the whatever you want to call it, at the fact that Michelle, the actresses, didn't want to come back to revive the part. And I can remember the line where everyone's like, well, where's Michelle? And Danny goes, well, their fashion empire is just doing so well in New York, they couldn't make it. And then the whole family cuts and just looks at the lens and then cuts back. And I was like, oh, that felt mean.
Yeah. A little bit.
That felt mean, you know, like they just don't want to act anymore. And that's fine. And I believe even one of them was like, I haven't done it in so long, I don't know that I can.
Sure.
And let's be real. Were they? Like, in all fairness, until they started getting to like their DVD movies and everything, they were just kid being a kid, as far as I could tell. There wasn't like acting involved because they were a baby.
Well, literally. To be fair. Yeah. Okay. I do want to admit this because I did want to talk about the other kids. I don't want to go deep down the Fuller House hole, but I just want to do a comparison here. So the premise, if you pay attention, they pretty much did the same thing.
Mm. It's, you know, just around the DJ originals, now, right?
Right. So she lost her husband. She has three kids. Mm-hmm. Her sister comes to live with her and Kimmy comes to live with her, which is her best friend. Same thing with Danny, except it was a brother-in-law instead of, but it's still family. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come there to live, help raise the kids, whatever. They've added a few little wrinkles, but still kind of the same premise. Now, when you start looking at the kids, you're like, all right, so how are they in comparison to DJ and Steph and Michelle? Mm-hmm. I said that I actually came to this conclusion the other day. Stephanie, DJ, and Michelle, while they had their sisterly bickerings and whatnot, they were sharp. They were smart. I don't think that there was one among them that was just like, I'm failing this. They would have their moments where it was like, I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. But they were smart girls. These boys are morons. I say that, but I had to make a little caveat. Now, the middle boy is sharp, but the other two are making up for the idiotness.
Gotcha.
So it's like you have one genius boy who borderlines on Sheldon Cooper, but he's not Sheldon Cooper. You know what I mean? You get a sense that he's inspired by that character to kind of give it, but he's not autistic in that weird way that he kind of did it, even though he said it wasn't. But anyway, point being,
I feel like they said it was actually inspired by something like that, but I could be wrong. I hear a lot of rumors. I don't know what's true.
So they all bring a different flavor to it. I actually think that the middle boy, Max, is, I think he has an opportunity to be a star. I feel like he's got the most charisma out of all of them.
Just got to get a good gig.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I feel like he's nailing it. Like, they even kind of paired him up with another character in the show who seemed like it would be a throwaway character. No, it's I think it's ended, but where I'm at in it, it's still going.
Oh, okay. Because I knew it lasted longer than I thought it would.
Yeah.
Like, five seasons. Like this, maybe. Five?
Five.
All right. Well.
But they kind of did one of those unlikely pairings, you know, where you put two characters together and you're like, holy shit, they actually have good chemistry together, you know. And I found that to be kind of fun. I was like, I like this kid. I think he's funny. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a good, sharp comic wit. The older boy, he's so one note. It's all about like, I'm obsessing over this girl. And that's all he really is. And it's like, all right, dude. He's maybe said one or two things really funny, but I could just do without him. Mm-hmm. And then the infant, I understand it's an infant. But he is no Michelle. Okay? Michelle had charisma. She was cute. She was doing things. She was being vocal.
Yeah.
It's season three, and he's just now getting there, and it's just like, it's not the same.
Well, apparently the Michelle wasn't all that great to begin with, because I'm sure you've heard the story, because John has actually confirmed that this happened, that he did not want the Olsen twins. They cried too much. They were a problem, and he actually had them fired for a bit of time. And then the new baby apparently was just not as cute, wasn't doing anything. And then they decided to bring the Olsen twins back. And then now we have history. But I found that interesting, where John's, I want them gone. And he gets them fired. And then apparently the next set of twins it was worse, I guess, in his mind.
Here's the irony of that. Because I feel like I've heard details of that, but I know I've read this one this is an absolute certainty. They got that gig because they were the most well-behaved babies in the audition.
Right? I mean, because that's got to be tough. I feel like when it's a baby like that, how cute are they? Like, what other merit can we audition a 9-month-old?
Sure.
They can't say anything. They can't walk. They probably don't even really understand what's going on. They're just like, why are all these lights on me? And why does mom and dad keep bringing me here? You know, I feel like you just got to be cute. I don't know. And like you said, maybe just a more chill baby.
Sure.
Because once they start crying, they don't give a shit that you're rolling. They don't know.
They don't know. I mean, hell, there's even, I found this out and I feel like I even heard it in one episode, but I cannot confirm. But I know what a baby sounds like when they're crying. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost positive that's what I heard. They said that the boy in the series, whoever's playing like the, I can't remember, I think it's Tommy or something like that, whoever the infant is, terrified of the screaming. So every time someone would walk in, the crowd would go, terrify him.
Aww.
I'm almost positive there was at least one scene in that I heard it. Very clearly, he was supposed to be in the room. Someone comes in, and then you just hear,
audio overload. This baby's like, what?
And I was like, are they going to check on that kid? Are they going to stop this anytime soon? But you could just hear it faintly. It's like, okay.
Those poor babies. Like, I don't understand. Why is it so loud in here?
But that's not what we're talking about. I don't know. I don't want to say, well, you just got to get through a couple of episodes. I was already committed to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I committed to it. I do feel like that the later seasons, once they started trying to do whatever the fuck they were trying to do with the first season, they kind of found their footing, like what they wanted to be. And I felt like it was getting stronger.
Okay.
So I hate to say that they needed to find their identity. They needed to stop trying to replicate
trying to capture the same magic.
I mean, just do what you got to do. I'm not going to say it's perfect. One thing that I think DJ is a terrible human being. And I say that as someone who watched her. She has been nothing but a, I'm trying to be
see you next,
PC
DJ.
About this. She is so wishy-washy about everything.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? She, two guys.
I feel like she did that in the original show, too.
A little bit, but not like this. Like,
didn't
this
she have,
is
like two dudes that was like, you know.
Because you had Steve, which let me start with him real quick too. Steve, when they reintroduced him to the show, I was like, all right, dude, you're coming on a little too much. You need to back the fuck up because you're kind of creepy. This isn't cute. This is like stalkery, you know, because it was like, oh, DJ, I'll do anything for you. I just say, I know you're not married anymore. I understand that. It's like.
Oh, when they brought him back for the new show?
Yeah, it's like, dude. Because in the old show, he was just, he was a football guy. He just ate all the time. He was a cool dude. Yeah. Like, I never found him to be annoying or, like, anything bad. New show, like I said, he starts off kind of like, oh, shit, you need to bring your energy way the fuck down. You need calm it because you're coming off like a stalker. And then when they brought in the other love interest, he seemed like a cool dude. Mm-hmm. But what did they do with DJ? I can't decide whose dick do I want. And it's like, woman.
Yeah.
I understand you've got history with one. I understand this is new. And I can understand where it could be difficult. But in your heart of hearts, you know where you want to be. So
neither,
don't.
Obviously, if you can't make that kind of a decision, you probably don't really want either of them.
Yeah. You are stringing them along. Did so many times. Mm-hmm. Like, even the last breakup thing that we saw was like, you have no idea how many lives you just ruined. You know? Like, my God, woman, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And it's all because, I just don't know. I just don't know.
But for plot.
Clearly for plot. And it's just like, Jesus, fuck, man. All right, whatever.
Yeah.
But she's terrible. She's a terrible human being. Everybody else on the show is better than she is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it's true.
No, that's fair.
And I know we went to a whole bunch of shit that didn't even matter. those were kind of the main shows. The only other one.
Well, it was always four. So were those four at the same time then? 10 of Us, Belvedere, Perfect Strangers, Family House, or Family House, Full House?
Yeah, they kicked it off. And I think at some point, Mr. Belvedere, I think, was probably one of the first ones to go. Because I think it was kind of nearing its run by that point. I think it only ran about five seasons. As far as what replaced it, I genuinely remember there being there were a lot of replacements in between. Dinosaurs, I think, became.
I know Dinosaurs was on TGIF, and that didn't last that long. Whoo boy, I actually did revisit that a few years back, and I was like, oh man, like, I don't know, we had different humor back then, man. You know, it's just like
They were trying something, you know. I'll give them that. They were really trying something new, but I don't think it really quite had its identity set in stone.
Yeah,
because I think it was meant to be a lot more adult than what they were doing.
100%. Because I mean, it was basically just like, what if the dinosaurs didn't go extinct and actually evolved into like people? Here's the story. And so you're like, okay. And I mean, it's literally just like any other family. They just happen to be dinosaurs. And the baby talks and hits people with a frying pan a lot.
And just and that catchphrase, was, man. He was like
not the mama.
Designed for that. All about that.
Yep. Oh, the whole song. They did like a whole video even for the I'm the baby, gotta love me, big purple eyes. Gotta leave. Wow. Don't you wish that something had more of me or three. And then they had like a little rap.
I do not remember this.
Really? Yeah, it was just like,
no.
Yes, they had, it was a whole music video about the Not the Mama song, or, you know, I'm the baby, gotta love me, something about poop in his pants, the whole thing. Like, yeah, you should go look it up. There's a whole music video, man, that they did for that. Yeah.
Okay.
And it might have aired during the show. I don't remember I saw it, you know. But yeah, they marketed on that because Baby made a lot of money.
The only other one that I can remember And there, like I said, I'm almost positive there were a few others that kind of came and went. Like, they were trying to find them a place, and were like, well, stick them on TGIF and see how they last. And then no one was watching.
Well, they figured people would see it, because if you put it on, like, after one of the staples, you'll stick around to see what's in the block.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Step by Step.
That I had do remember Patrick, that one.
Yeah, Patrick Duffy and Suzanne Summers.
Mm-hmm.
And I genuinely think that was one of those that I kind of would watch every now and again, maybe if I was just... Because I think it was one of the 8:30 show or something like that.
Yeah,
like
I don't
that
remember
last
what
stretch.
Order people went in, but yeah, that sounds about right.
But it would just be one of those that I would kind of watch, but it would just be in the background type thing where it was like, yeah, I'll kind of just leave it on.
Like, and I do remember it. Like, it was like another...
It's like Brady Bunch.
Yeah,
it was just,
thank you. That was actually the show I was trying to think of. Yeah. Blended family. Mm. They were divorced. Come together. Blah, blah, blah. Yep.
And there we go. We got another song from that guy. Step by step, day by day. Goodbye, ba dee ba dee, ba 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 ba.
Oh my gosh. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, now I hear that same guy's voice, but it never clicked that it was the same guy doing all of them.
I can't remember his name. I'm sure I could look it up. And that's how you sing his songs. Just get the tone and just.
Just scat. And then you'll know.
At some point, where do you think that you dropped off from TGIF?
I would have to say probably mid-90s, I feel like. I left it. Like, I was looking this up, you know, just the other day when you were mentioned about wanting to talk, just to see if I could remember, to refresh my memory on some of the shows. And I remember seeing Clueless. I don't remember that it was on TGIF. And when I was looking at that block, that had to have been nearing the end of TGIF's life cycle, because I think it went into like 2000, which I didn't even know that it went that far. And then even Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, and then I looked that up, and it ran into the 2000s, and I was just like, I'm trying to remember if that was on TGIF or did a different station pick it up and it managed to last that long. I don't know, but I do remember watching some Sabrina, and I do remember, was Sister on that?
I think it was.
Because I remember watching Sister. I remember Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yes, there's another one, yes.
Can I remember any more, though? So that was still early, though, I feel, like in the 90s, you know?
Definitely.
So probably, maybe about
mid-90s.
That show, I was falling off. But I do remember Sister and Hanging with Mr. Cooper, and then the ones we just talked about. And then when I was looking up some of them, there was a lot where I was like, oh, I had no idea that it was still going on at that point. So, like, when I saw Clueless pop up, I was like, I remembered seeing that show on from time to time because I was a big fan of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I remember it being on TGIF, though. You know, like, I probably figured it was like a CW thing. Or WB at the time.
Yeah.
Which, did their whole other thing. But yeah, because two of the actors came to do the show that was actually in the movie. Donald Faison and, what's her name? Stacey Dash.
Yeah.
And then the rest, I think, were all new. And, of course, they recast Cher.
Sure.
I don't know why Alicia didn't come back for that. Maybe she was doing other things. Maybe that was when she was doing Batgirl and getting
canned
for
that.
Well, it sounded good until it was... That Batman movie.
Should have saw what the last one was.
Yeah, I don't know.
You knew what you were getting into.
Wasn't she the one with Mr. Freeze? Or am I blending them all?
No, that's right.
Yeah, it was unfortunately just the bad version of it. Because I feel like that was the only reason why I went to go see that version. Because I do like Alicia Silverstone and had for a while. And then that was the first movie I ever remember actually falling asleep in the theater for. And I was like, oh, I just paid for a nap. Cool. You know, like, wow. Like, I was just beside myself at how bad it was.
Sure.
But yeah, I would say probably about mid-90s, because like I said, I remember Sister and Cooper, and then gone from my brain, you know?
Yeah, there were so, like, the fact that you even brought up the ones that you did, I feel like there was even a few more in there that I've forgotten. Head of the Class, do you remember that one?
Ooh, sounds familiar, but I don't know if I watched it.
Like, all I remember...
Okay.
I know I watched it. I just can't remember all the details, but it was maybe a... God damn it. I feel like it was a special class or
I'm looking group. Up here. I want to see... I just asked the Googles to tell me every
Howard
sitcom.
Hessman was the teacher for this group. And what's her name? She was married to Mike Tyson. Robin Givens?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think she was one of them. One of the kids.
Okay.
And even Ki-Hoo Kwan, who played Short Round, he eventually became he was one of the kids at some point. I think this is like one of the last things he did before he officially retired.
Oh, okay. No.
Anyway. Yeah. There was so many shows that ran on this thing. The fact that they even came back and did it, because like you said, I didn't realize that they'd ended it. And then
I guess, well, I mean, did they end? Two guys, a girl, and a pizza place.
Shit.
I'm looking it up right now. Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, I remember watching that show. I mean, I don't think I knew who he really was yet, you know? But... I did watch that, and this is saying it was on from 98 to 2001.
Okay, so yeah, they
were. I
guess
they watched it later than I thought.
So according to this, if this is, you said, what was the year again?
It says, in this article I'm reading anyway, it says 98 to 2001.
98 to 2001. Okay, so their run, so this may have been right there on the cusp of them stopping TGIF. Because they said the original run went from 89 to 2000.
Oh, really?
Then they started it again in 2003, ran until 2005.
Oh.
Then I guess it just wasn't working the same way anymore. Then they tried it again in 2018.
Really?
Yeah.
But appointment TV was over by then. I guess
marketing, you know, trying to hit that nostalgia bump and be like, look. TGIF, y'all.
Oh, like we're
going to
call it TGIF, but you can still
watch
it.
Yeah, and
you're
like,
oh,
shit, I've got to go to TGIF. And it's like, yeah, but no one's home. No, everybody's watching from
yeah,
their phones.
We left. We moved out, guys. Yeah. Well, Boy Meets World. I did watch that. I had to bring up a list of like everything that was on TGIF to see if I can even remember these shows. So let's see. So from the top, according to the Screen Rant article, just so you guys know where I'm at. On Our Own.
Nope.
Ran one season, is one that most viewers seem to have overlooked in the years since it concluded in 95. I'm like, yep.
Yeah, think so?
Yeah, On Our Own stole a few ideas from films like Mrs. Doubtfire, an attempt to play up the zany comedy, but a major restructuring of TGIF just 3 months into its first season was an indicator the formula wasn't working. Okay. Baby Talk? You know what? Looking at it, I kind of remember that.
I do remember that one.
Did they make a movie?
Well, Look Who's Talking, it just happened.
Oh.
And then they were just like, hey, this is a new fad. Let's make babies and dogs and shit talk. And I think they got Tony.
Saying,
was it Tony Danza? Is he listed on the cast?
No. Why doesn't this article say his name? I'm looking at his face and I'm like, come on.
I feel like he did a show where he was the voice. He was like, hey, look at me. I'm Tony Danza. I'm a baby. Yeah. However the fuck he talks.
Baby talk. Because like, I don't know. You know this guy and why I can't think of his freaking name. Scott Baio.
Baio.
There it
is.
I was staring at his stupid face and I'm like, what is your name?
Walking piece of shit, Scott Baio.
He's one that got interesting over the years. Moving on. We talked about Family Matters, Step by Step, Clueless, Two Guys, a Girl, yep, Full House, yep. The Hughleys. It's apparently out for four seasons.
Yeah, I remember the Hughleys. That was D.L. Hughley.
Mm-hmm. Looking at it, it seems like I kind of remember a few episodes of that too. Boy Meets World, yep. Sabrina, we talked about that. Dinosaurs,
yeah.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper, Sister. Okay, so it was Sister. Perfect Strangers. We might have hit it all, just the 10 of us. Getting By. Ooh. So I don't really remember it, but there's Harriet Winslow's sister.
Really? Okay.
Like she's in the thumbnail here. Let's see. Getting By is one of the more interesting TGIF shows.
Really?
According to Screen Rant.
Okay.
It saw two best friends and as single moms, Dolores and Kathy, purchase a house, raise their families together. Dorothy is widowed and Kathy's husband runs off with another woman. But they don't mention that she's the...
Probably
maybe,
a different
maybe
role.
The it was just the actress. Maybe it wasn't part of that. Teen Angel?
Teen Angel.
Ran for one season. A sitcom based on the story of a boy who eats a six-month-old hamburger and dies.
What the fuck?
Only to be resurrected as his best friend's guardian angel.
Okay.
This, even looking at the kids, it just does not look familiar.
Okay.
This one passed me completely, I think.
97, 98, I can tell you exactly where I was. Not home on a Friday
not
night.
Like, we were teenagers and we were roaming the streets at this point,
that
people.
That is right.
Two of a Kind. Interesting. Because that's got the Olsons.
Of course, because that was probably their spinoff show.
Oh, dude, they were super popular, especially when it came to like straight to DVD movies or straight to video. Oh, man. Okay. You Wish. Another one I'm looking at. It doesn't look familiar. Also one season from 97 to 98.
So I guess that was the replacement show.
Supernatural leanings. It's its own spin of I Dream of Jeannie. You Wish sees a genie, appropriately named Jeannie.
Sure.
Inadvertently released by a single mother and her two children. Okay.
I don't know what the hell that is.
Nope, nope. And then Muppets Tonight. All right. 96 to 98. I didn't know that was a TGIF block either. Is this right, Screen Rant? Did you get this right?
I'm starting to wonder because...
I don't remember stuff that far away, so that could have been the case. But so we... I'm familiar with most.
Sure.
I feel like there's only, what, two there where it missed me completely. Like, Teen Angel, I don't remember at all, I don't think.
No, I couldn't have...
Maybe I'd have to see an episode for me to go, oh, maybe that's vaguely in my head. But there you go. So that was the lineup. So very few only lasted a season. It seems like most of them at least got two or three. And then your breakout ones were the ones we had pretty much talked about in more length.
Yeah, so. That's what I was going to say. It's like if it hit hard. You know, if it was going to be a smash, then you knew it and it stuck around. And those are the ones we remember versus the ones that have just fallen by the wayside. And
so they might have been at the end.
That's true.
Like of the block. Mm-hmm. Because if I can't remember it and I'm remembering all of these that I would assume probably came before it. But I feel like it, well, no, yeah.
It feels like it's that slot where, kind of like the whole Friday slot is for TV shows now, it's the place they go to die, you know, where if you're not sure of anything, you just stick it there. And it's like, if people want to check it out, you're giving it either a solid lead in or something like Mr. Belvedere, which I know it ran for five years. Well,
I was going to say five seasons. I feel like that's a decent run for a sitcom, you know,
but then
you get longer than that. You're pretty lucky.
But then you get stuck with a show like Teen Angel or You Wish or whatever the fuck these are.
Whatever those were. You poor guys. Sorry. It didn't go anywhere. I'm guessing not. Like, I didn't even realize Step by Step was that many seasons.
Yeah, seven, I'm really surprised how long it ran. Now that I look back on it, I'm just like, damn, okay.
Yeah.
But again, this is as we were getting older and going off into the world and all that stuff.
Yep. We were pretending to be teenagers then at that point. Well, I was like, I probably had a license already. But when I actually went out with friends and did stuff on the weekends.
Sure. But I guess the idea of what I wanted to bring up here, because I know we've just rambled on and on about all the shows that were on it. But, it was an important part of our lives at some point. You know, it's not something that I don't think we'll ever see again. As weird as that may seem to some people.
I don't think life is conducive for that sort of thing anymore.
It's not. To me, this is the equivalent of something like Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
That was a block of shows that were so popular in the zeitgeist. Okay, we're talking about 20 million people on a regular basis. Maybe not that, but it was usually a lot when shows could get these type of numbers back then. So just use that as an example. 20 million people. Tuned in at the same time every Friday.
Think of it like the Super Bowl. I guess. Everybody pretty much tunes in at the same time for that still.
Sure.
Because that's a live thing. Maybe not that many people. Like, right. I know Super Bowl's ridiculous numbers. But yeah, you had to be available at that time. I don't know how you would do that anymore, where people just drop entire seasons now for you to binge. And well, we've discussed how I hate that, but
yeah, like there's a part of me that wants it, but I don't, you know what I mean? Like there's just some times where maybe give me two and I'll be happy, because if I want to watch more, I can, like if I'm in the mood for it and I got into it and I don't want it to go away. You've given me a second little morsel and I'm like, okay, let me.
Then
you can go to one a week, because then I'm prepared. But I need to get my fix and then I'm done.
I like the one a week.
Yeah. Still. I just dropping it all. It does feel like you're just like, well, here you are. Here you go. It's like, maybe make me want to come back, you know?
Well, that, and it's like, I feel like you're running into like spoilers a heck of a lot more, because if you're the type that doesn't want to sit there for 9 hours straight and break it up, so other people will and talk about it, you know, at least that was what they call like water cooler talk, you know, it's like you had to discuss it because nobody could get ahead of you. You all had to watch it at the same time. And it's not like I could get ahead of the plot. I can't.
And you have to hope that you're not going to run into people talking about it at work.
Right. But I mean, if they did, like, you probably already missed it. So
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But I mean, I've had that shit happen where you start hearing people, hey, did you watch this over the weekend?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, God damn it. I didn't watch it. I'm not going to be pressured and I don't want it to be spoiled. So I have to just leave the room or something like that, because what do you do?
Yeah, that's what I hate about it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it does become a frustrating thing. But you think about what this did. I mean, we're talking about a block of shows that ran for at least 10 years. And I know it did, but that was longer. The big time. That was from the 80s into the 90s. That's the block. That's the big time. Mm-hmm. Shows that had catchphrase after catchphrase. People who became icons overnight over some stupid shit.
Right, you know,
and it just pervaded everything. Everybody knows who Urkel is. Everybody knows the Olsen twins.
My God, he had lunch boxes.
Yeah.
I know we don't talk about that. Remember when you had to buy lunch boxes and you wanted a lunch box that had so-and-so on it? You know, like, I want my Backstreet Boys lunch box. You know? Then it had a thermos.
You know what? That was even something I was starting to question about Fuller House, because they were doing, like, they've brought in older characters. I don't know if you remember this, but there was, and this is one of those big TGIF marketing campaigns that they pulled, but and boy, did it pay off. Urkel visits every show. So there was an entire evening, okay, where Urkel went from one show all the way to the end, and he was there the entire block. And you talk about marketing, and that was just like, that. All right, that's kind of clever. And so
I don't remember that. That is clever, though.
I did, because I thought, okay, I'm curious to see how this works, because you're talking about a character on one show, but now you're telling me he's going on all these others?
Wait a minute. So he was managing to go to Chicago, to San Francisco, to... Okay, you'll have to explain this to me.
So, to my understanding now, I could be wrong about this on how when this started, but I remember there was at least one episode where he wound up on Full House. Apparently he had a cousin that lived out there. He was out there visiting. And then of course they're just like, oh my God, there's this kid and he's really annoying and he's following us everywhere. And then in comes Steve, you know, case closed. Now the second run, I don't think Full House was in that. I could be wrong about that, but because he only showed up in that one episode and I felt like,
It wasn't all in the same evening.
No, when they did this. So I'm assuming Full House had to have been pulled out at this point.
Okay.
But I want to say it started on Family Matters. Like, they started with that show. Something happened in that show, and he launched himself into the air and wound up in Step by Step.
We're jumping the shark, aren't we?
Like, I don't know how. I don't even know where the fuck they live, but he just...
Say where? What show was it?
Step by Step. He
Step
like
by Step. Let's see where
launched himself in the air with a rocket or something like that, and you saw him flying. And the next thing you know, you cut to Step by Step, and then he just crashes into their picnic.
Port Washington, Wisconsin.
Okay, so not close
so
to...
So he launched himself from Chicago to Wisconsin.
There we go.
That's a trek.
It is.
Still. I know we're close and butt up against each other. That's a trek.
It is.
Okay.
So from that, he apparently went to another show after that. What show that is, I cannot remember. I would have to look up the timeline of events, but it was pretty much Urkel takes over TGIF. And that's how it worked. So whatever it may be, but yeah, that was something that they used to do a lot, where a little cross promotion. But what I was going to say is in Fuller House, some kid or some character had mentioned something about an Urkel doll. And I was like, now, wait a second. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, so are we retconning that Urkel is a real character in this universe? Because now you're saying there's Urkel dolls? So I was confused by that. But then...
Yeah, like what kind of character then?
But then there was another episode where some of these older characters were popping back in. And DJ and Steph said something was like, man, we might have to just reach out to some other old friends and, you know, see how that works out. And then DJ was like, yeah, I wonder what Urkel's doing right now. And then they walk out and was like, wait a second. So now you're acknowledging he's a real person. What the shit?
Yeah.
I was confused.
I'm looking at this because it also says Jaleel White was on Mr. Belvedere. But that was before Family Matters, though. Because it says he was in there in 87.
Well, that could make sense because that might have been how they knew him, because he may have been auditioning for a lot of these shows.
Oh, okay.
So,
because, yeah, it says he was on that, and I see a Full House one episode. Yeah, that's what I was looking up. I'm like, I'm sure IMDb is going to say, did an episode here, did an episode there. He was on The Jeffersons, too, apparently.
Okay. I know that there was a whole block, and I can't remember.
I'm sure there was. I'm just not seeing them all right here, because it says ABC TGIF TV series. Was there a TV series called TGIF?
Maybe.
Step by Step. There he is.
And
that's the one you were just talking about.
Here's another little thing for you about how they all connect together. I don't know if you knew this, but apparently Boy Meets World also connects to this.
Oh, yeah?
Because he is, I think it was confirmed in Boy Meets World that he was pen pals with the main boy. Who's
Savage's character.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name now. Yeah.
But apparently they name dropped him in the show, so.
They did love their Urkel.
Yeah,
they gotta put him in there.
They tied all this shit together. Oh, here it is. Wait. Nope. Damn.
Yeah, they got it broken up so oddly on IMDb here. Because I feel like there wasn't that much of a gap.
I know.
Because Family Matters was 89. It says it started here. So Mr. Belvedere would have been before that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Doesn't
Interesting,
matter.
Though. I think that's a fun idea.
Sure. And, I mean, other networks have tried to do the same thing. But, I don't know. It just didn't hit the same. Because He was, if you weren't there, you just don't understand how big Urkel was.
Right. Like, if you were around, then you get it, for sure.
He was
a big deal.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I don't know. But he was.
Our humor, it had to have been a lot different then, too. Because even, like, when I'm watching some of these shows that I know that I watched and enjoyed as a kid, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, like, what? But... you know, times change.
Tastes change.
The way things go change.
We probably haven't hit on everything that I wanted to hit on with it, but I feel like we've covered so much. I mean, there is a lot to this, and there's so many shows that I don't think we could really touch on, but I wanted to touch on some of the more popular ones, the ones that we could remember, and just talk about how, I mean... This is something that we'll never see again in our lifetime. I honestly believe that. Same with the Saturday morning cartoons things. This is a moment in time that can never be recaptured because we've moved away from it. And
yeah, we've had a technological revolution since then. So,
And I feel like...
It's kind of sad.
I don't really know even how to explain it either. Like you said, you just had to have been there to really understand why some of us kind of feel like a connection to this and what these things meant to us.
Uh-huh.
You know, it wasn't something right there in the palm of our hand that we could have at any point in time. If you really wanted it bad enough, you had to be there. And if you didn't, it's like, well, I guess I'll catch it next time around or whatever. And I don't know. Yeah,
I just have fond memories with it too, because like every Friday I can remember mom would order a Domino's pizza. And that was the night we would sit down and, you know, and we would watch the TV together, you know, and have that pizza. And so, yeah, for me, I got that little extra special there because I can just remember, you know, remember spending that time with mom and that looked forward to having like the Domino's pizza, you know. Yes, I've moved out and I know there's other pizzas, but where I'm from, where I originally from, we had like two places. And yes, they were the big chains, Domino's and Pizza Hut, you know.
It means something to you, you know.
Yeah.
Memories. So
that was always fine because I can remember just like looking forward to like sitting there with mom and watching those shows. And it would have had to have been around that earlier time frame, you know, like you said, before we became teenagers and had friends and just like wanted to leave the house at that point. Love you, mom, but I don't want to be here. I want to go with my friends.
All I can really remember when it comes to these shows, it comes to a certain particular part of time in my life. And I remember I had this little, probably a 13-inch TV in my room. Wasn't anything fancy, just a, even had the little
CRT.
The clicker dials, if you will.
Where it was legit clicker.
Yeah. And had to use
the big ass buttons.
The antennas.
Rabbit ears. Yeah.
But
with aluminum foil, because we genuinely thought that was getting us better signal, man. I don't know if it really did or not, but like I remember that. But we were so like trash. We even had like the working TV sitting on top of the non-working TV because we used to have one of those huge box TVs, you know, back in the day when we used to make quality looking stuff where it was in like this nice wood casing and all that stuff. Well, so when it shit the bed, we got a new TV and then just right on top.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we did.
I didn't even know that was a trashy thing until I heard Jeff Foxworthy one day, and I went, "Oh my god, we're called out."
Yeah,
that's a problem. That's trashy, Mom. You know, like,
doesn't matter.
It worked.
I mean,
this was a nice TV. It had a nice case. What do you do?
I got nothing more to say about this. It was just a blip in our radar. You know,
a blip in time. Yeah.
And it was something that, you know, even when I say that kids and people won't understand it from today, I'm sure there are going to be things that will eventually happen that they'll be like, oh, back in my day, this thing used to happen. I don't think about it because things are so much different. As weird as that is to think. And
it feels like, it was like, I guess, a generation ago, but like it feels so much further away than it is. I don't know. I still can't grasp in my baby brain here or my old lady brain or whatever that the 70s weren't just like 15 years ago.
Sure. I get it.
Time just keeps on moving. And all the first time I saw a movie that said release 2024, I was like, oh my God. Like just seeing it written down like that, I'm like, I oh my God. I'm from the 1900s.
We are.
All the way back from the 1900s.
I mean, I may be able to claim that I was born in the 70s, but really did not.
Like the ass end of it.
Yeah. I was like right there. I'm 80s through and through. So, siblings, you want to let us know what your thoughts on TGIF were? Let us know on social media at Superman Crash. If we're not there, just look us up. You can send us an email at supermegacrash@gmail.com. You can support the show over on Patreon. Leave us a 5-star review in your favorite podcasting app. Help the show grow. And you can keep up with any and all things at pencilpaperproductions.com/supermegacrash. Links are in the show notes down below. Join us again next week, siblings. But until then, go beyond your limits.
It's time to do the Urkel. Now, if you want to do the Steve Urkel dance, all you have to do is hitch up your pants. Bend your knees and stick out your pelvis. I'm telling you, baby, it's better than Elvis. 'Up to the sky and talk through your nose way up high. Spin and dip and jump and cavort and finish it off with a laugh and snort.
This has been a Pencil and Paper Podcast Network production.